Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast, recorded in London on the 16th of June 2017. I'm Robert Kelsey and I'm here with Chris Southworth, Secretary General of ICC in the UK. Chris, we've seen indications that businesses are regaining their voice on the type of Brexit they want, calling for membership of the single market or the customs union. Certainly they don't want Britain to be poorer. How can businesses best voice their needs and concerns?
Well, the UK is the fifth largest trading country, so its role within the global economy is incredibly important. And the private sector itself provides jobs, investment and tax, so it's important that their voice is heard. The trouble with Brexit is there are some very sticky issues where we need the voice of business to come up with a solution. And nobody wants more red tape. Nobody wants the increase or the cost of finance to increase. And, of course, all businesses need access to skilled labour.
As Brexit negotiations open, one growing concern is the threat to London as a global financial centre. Do you think the concerns are overblown, or is there an existential threat to London's dominance?
Well, I've just come from a GTR export conference yesterday where we asked exactly that same question, and 95% of the audience were concerned. So there clearly is a concern out there in the market. It is worth noting that London's place in the world as a financial centre does not revolve around the EU. That's about time zone, skills, experience over time. So that's not going to change. But there clearly is a threat and there clearly is an opportunity too to kind of improve some of the way that the businesses operate.
But surely the EU will do its best to prevent London just carrying on as the main financial centre for the Eurozone and for the EU.
Well, for world business, London plays a role as a finance centre for global businesses all over the world. It also plays a key role for businesses all over Europe. So its function within Europe is quite different in that regard. But there's some simple facts to the whole situation. One is if you draw a line between the UK and the continent, then the chances are the cost of finance will increase for logistical reasons more than anything else, technical reasons. And at the same time, the availability and range of supply of services, particularly for businesses on the continent, could potentially shrink as well. So it's really important that we get the right solution.
Let's move on to the recent general election in the UK. Age seems to be the new dividing line in British politics, with the young clearly unhappy with the current direction of travel in many areas, including globalisation and the behaviour of business. How should business go about engaging young minds?
Well, if you look at the election data now, it's really interesting because the highest vote we had the highest voting numbers, or the UK had the highest voting numbers since the early 1990s. If you look at the voting data from the EU referendum, it was really the over 55s that stamped their feet, and the result was very much a reflection of what they see as the sort of world before them. In the election, the under 40s really stamped their feet, and in many ways as a reaction to the referendum. So if you just look at some of the data, 63 to 75% of the under 40s voted left or liberal, and 71 to 75% of those were under 25s. But by contrast, that's 50 to 70% of the over 50s voted right. So you get this complete sort of contrast between the under 40s and the over 50s.
That's pretty interesting. Are there any other divides that we should take note of in this election?
Yeah, skills is an important set of data as well. If you look at the low skill, 58% of the low skill voted right, and 60% of the high or mid to high skill voted left or liberal. So you get this huge divide across skill sets. In terms of the overall voter turnout, it was 57 to 61% of the under 40s voted. They're traditionally the ones who don't tend to turn up. So that's the group that really swung the election. But from a policy point of view, which is what we really care about within an ICC environment, understanding that younger vote is actually really important. Their worldview is fundamentally different to the over 50s. They've grown up in an environment where there's free movement, where travel is cheap, where there's global telecommunications. Their concept of boundaries and relationships is very, very different. And that has really important implications for both business policymakers and government.
which brings us on to the UN Sustainability Development Goals. ICC is co-hosting the UN Sustainable Development Goals Business Forum next month. The 2030 agenda recognises the critical role of business in delivering sustainable and inclusive development. Why is business engagement so crucial, and what work is ICC doing in this area?
Well, businesses and government came together in 2012 to agree a vision for the world, which is what we call the 2030 Agenda or the Sustainability Goals. Ultimately, that's a vision that we all sign up to. It's really the role of the private sector to help deliver those goals. The UN Sustainability Development Business Forum on the 18th of July is really an opportunity to showcase how business plays a positive role in doing this. And just to give you a couple of examples, Procter & Gamble have provided 7 billion litres of clean water for poor children and families. Walmart is training 1 million women in agriculture, retail and trade. These are really concrete, deliverable outputs that businesses have provided that help the world move forward towards that shared vision. It's really, really important.
So what is ICC United Kingdom doing in this respect?
So I'll be out there in New York at the UN SDG Business Forum on the 18th of July, and my role really is to represent UK business and put forward a really positive story for what UK businesses are doing to help deliver that global vision. And I'll be out there alongside the UK government and alongside other business teams from within the ICC community. So it's really important, and what I really need is examples of where businesses have actually done something positive and constructive, and where there's a really tangible output.
Thanks, Chris, and we'll speak again soon. You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom.